This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It was 2005 when Hurricane Katrina smashed its way onto the Gulf Coast. Few of us can forget the scenes of complete devastation and loss, especially in the city of New Orleans. In the 7 years since that terrible destruction, New Orleans has been in the process of recovering and rebuilding. Writer and contributor to Gadling.com, Mickey Maynard has been watching that recovery, and it's occurred to her there have been lessons learned in rebuilding New Orleans that could be applied to the city of Detroit. So, Mickey, what caused you to draw the connection between the Katrina damage in NOLA and what's happening in the city of Detroit?
Many people think that what happened in Detroit is the equivalent of an economic storm. So Katrina swept through New Orleans and did incredible destruction very quickly. Detroit's been feeling this over the last literally 50 years. But you have two cities that were brought to their knees. New Orleans, it's 7 years since the storm. The rebuilding is not over. But there's an interesting thing going on there in that you have people coming into the city from who are not New Orleanians, who see potential in New Orleans and who are now adding a layer to New Orleans that wasn't there before. Same thing is happening with Detroit. You now have a number of newcomers, many of them from other big cities, who see a lot of potential in Detroit and who are just starting to add a new flavor to Detroit, although I would say we have years to go yet.
So how is this being manifested in New Orleans? What are you seeing?
I did a series for a website called Gadling.com that looked at the new New Orleans. And what you see are a couple of things. First of all, these folks are taking what was there before but abandoned. So I did a story about a street in New Orleans called Ferret Street, which was actually a very lively street in the 30s and 40s. Jewish merchants, Italian merchants, basically the people who weren't part of old French society. Mm-hmm. And it was fine until the 50s, and then population trends came in. Then in the 70s, crime came in. In the 80s, there was a murder that basically sent everybody running from that commercial district. But after the storm, there was a shortage of places to do business. And as people were cleaning up, a few years later, they were looking for space. And one group of folks found an old firehouse and said, this would make a great artisanal cocktail bar. And people in the neighborhood said, what? You know, why would we want an artisanal cocktail bar? We could use, you know, other things.
Like a grocery store.
They opened this bar called Cure, and it is now on all the lists of the 50 best bars in America. And Cure was the sort of centerpiece that drew other investment to Ferret Street. And now you have a 7-block area full of restaurants, a little bit of retail, hardware store, paint store. It is now the hot street in New Orleans, and it started with a couple people believing they could turn a firehouse into a bar.
Well, it sounds like when you have something that forces you to hit the reset button, like Katrina, then you do throw out everything that was. And when you have people coming in with fresh eyes, a local probably wouldn't say, hey, let's take this old firehouse and turn it into an artisanal cocktail bar, but fresh eyes would.
The cool thing about what's going on in New Orleans is it's a mix of locals who do see the potential and these newcomers. And Joel Dondas, who is a restaurant owner, he's kind of like the Ari Weinzweig at Zingerman's of New Orleans. He has started building a little restaurant empire that started with a catering business, but now he's got a patisserie, a coffee shop that opened right before the storm. He's got a brand new restaurant called Grand Isle right down in the middle of the tourist area, and one of those elegant little bistros called La Petite Grocery. Joel put this whole empire together. He's a local, but he saw that it was time to start new things. He said that essentially the storm was the wake-up call to New Orleans, that it couldn't just retreat into the past. It had to keep moving forward. So he's a local who kind of got the new New Orleans bug.
And then does that start spreading like a positive virus, for lack of another way to put it? Does that get other people going, well, wait a minute. Yeah. He did it. What can we do?
That's a very good way to put it. What's happened down there is that you do have people from other places. So met a couple of other restaurant owners, one who's Israeli, one who came down from Memphis. They both helped out during the storm. They helped with the reclamation efforts. And they decided, you know what? I'm dedicated to this city. It's time to put down roots here. And it's time to open up a business and hire some people and make a difference. And so I don't know if it's a pioneering spirit, but I think it's a very American spirit of supporting when there is need and then seeing opportunity once the need has been filled.
Tell us some more about the new folks coming in, the ones who would be viewed as outsiders and they were not around before Katrina. Who are they and what are they doing?
One of the most interesting people that I met when I was there is a guy named Chip Apperson. And Chip owns a bar called The Hi-Hat. It's actually a bar and grill on Ferret Street, the same street mm-hmm. where the bar's at the other end of the street. Chip and Hi-Hat are at this end of the street. He and his wife owned restaurants in Memphis. They went down to New Orleans to help out during the storm. They then decided to buy a house and restore it. And after they restored the house, which took them a couple of years, they said, you know what? It's time to get back in the restaurant business. But up in Memphis, we did white tablecloth. We think we need a place where families, people from all incomes can come in, sit at the bar, get a homemade lemonade, get a cocktail. Of course, you have to have a cocktail in New Orleans. Get a meal, get fried chicken, get some pie, but not that old style candles
and stuffy
and yeah. silver. Because you still do have that in New Orleans, but it's essentially always going to be part of the culture. But this is, to me, this is the new New Orleans where, you know, come in at lunchtime. And I just had, I think, 4 meals there in 5 days. It was just such a friendly and welcoming place.
And I get the feeling from what you're saying, maybe I'm reading between the lines, that the original folks, the folks that were there before Katrina, are welcoming of the outsiders?
You have to remember that New Orleans lost a vast amount of population.
Yeah.
The city, I was looking at some statistics comparing Hurricane Sandy and what happened with Katrina. And while Hurricane Sandy knocked out more people's electricity, Hurricane Katrina wiped out entire neighborhoods down there. And mm-hmm. so people came back to fix up the city, but there were people who didn't come back, who just said, you know what, I'm a musician and I was never treated right in the bars here. I'm going to play in Atlanta and Houston. So you had people who left and aren't coming back, but you have new folks coming in. And I think more than ever in its past, the old New Orleans is welcoming these new folks because if they don't have them, then they're left with kind of a shell of what was there before. So it's woken everybody up. It's brought new ideas. I met Alon Shea, who is a chef in New Orleans, and he's, as I said, from Israel. He's adding Mediterranean touches to what's an Italian menu. He's kind of sneaking in things that would be very familiar to folks in Dearborn, but there's not a large Arab American population in New Orleans, so people are being introduced to Middle Eastern food that they don't know it, but this is what they're getting to eat.
Okay.
And so it's a kind of a food culture there that welcomes all these new ideas. And so he's going to teach people probably about the cuisine of the Middle East.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty, speaking with writer Mickey Maynard, who's done a series of stories for Gadling about the lessons learned in the rebuilding of New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina and what connections and lessons could be applied to the city of Detroit. So what can we take from that and put it onto the city of Detroit and its people?
I'm a big fan of the city of Detroit, and I have always thought there's so much potential in the city, but so much empty space, so mm-hmm. many empty buildings, so many neighborhoods that need services that just are not getting them because of the financial crisis. There's plenty of building stock in Detroit, and one of the parallels I would draw is between New Orleans Municipal Auditorium and the Michigan Central train station. Now,
okay.
if people watch the show on HBO called Treme, the Municipal Auditorium is that building where they want to put a jazz center, and it's all been caught up in politics. So the Municipal Auditorium is still empty, and I write about it in my series for Gadling that there's finally going to be some federal money where they can finally get in there. This is a place where they had all the Mardi Gras balls and ice skating shows, and they played basketball in there. Reopen it and fix it up and make it available to the community. If you look at what goes on with Michigan Central, we've all been saying for years, when is somebody going to get in there and put glass in the windows, put something in there, let's use it for a space. So there's a community effort to fix up the Municipal Auditorium. I think eventually we're going to see a community effort that focuses on Michigan Central as well.
You have to get it away from Maddie Maroon first.
That is a very important issue. And what's happened with the Municipal Auditorium in New Orleans is that it got caught up with the Nagin administration, mm-hmm. which wanted to do one thing with it. And now the new mayor has said, let's give this a try. So maybe we need some political leadership here that does the same thing. And obviously Detroit has many other problems than Michigan Central, but change is happening in New Orleans. Change can happen in Detroit as well.
How about the neighborhoods? How about where people are living? I know we've had guests on Stateside who have lived in the city, and we just had the author of the book Detroit City is the Place to Be, who actually lived in Eastern Market and bicycled and what went around the neighborhoods. And there is rebirth beginning. There's almost like these urban pioneers coming in. Are they being welcomed, do you think, by folks that have been living in those neighborhoods for years?
What's interesting about New Orleans is that you can drive down a block. So if you think about the neighborhood where Ferret Street is, it's the uptown neighborhood. You drive around the blocks near that commercial district. You'll find brand new houses. You'll find empty boarded up houses. You'll find houses still under restoration since the storm. I think the most active thing in that neighborhood is really that paint store where people are coming in to fix up. So it's an ongoing process. And I think the longtime neighbors who've been able to fix up their houses are really glad to see this activity because it protects their home values. It means there's more activity. It means crime goes down. Crime is still a big problem in New Orleans, as it is a big problem in Detroit. But when you get the neighborhoods back, that's when you start to get groups of people that rally around commercial districts, rally around the bar, rally around the new bakery, and they will do their best to make that a viable neighborhood.
And Mickey, I suspect other cities as well, if you're talking Pontiac or Flint or Grand Rapids, parts that where there has been urban blight, for lack of another term, where there is area that needs rebuilding. So who would these people be that would come in? Who would be the equivalent of the French, of the chef from Memphis who decided to relocate and help rebuild New Orleans?
Well, never underestimate the power of the food industry to make something into attraction. And you think about Slo's Barbecue in Detroit, and a lot of people wouldn't go to Corktown except that Slo's is there. And now things are filling in Corktown. Sure. The same is true in the Midtown area where you have places like the Avalon Bakery, where you have the crepe stores and other restaurants that have gone in there. So, I mean, first food, let's feed ourselves. I think the next thing that, especially in New Orleans, they'd say is retail, because you've had retail come in. Now they would like to have more grocery stores, which is certainly an issue that Detroit is facing. And in fact, you're starting to see more grocery stores. Wendell Pierce, who's one of the actors who appears on Tremé, and he's familiar to NPR listeners, he is actually starting a small group of grocery stores with local sustainable food for neighborhoods in New Orleans that never had good grocery stores like that before. So you have to have the things that the neighborhood needs, but you also have to things that kind of are pleasing to the eye in a sense. One of the things about New Orleans is the way it looks. It's a beautiful city. The architecture is beautiful. Detroit's a rugged city. Detroit's an industrial city, but that's got its own aesthetic as well.
That's
a very urban aesthetic. And a lot of people like the way that our buildings look. They like the brick. They like the old windows. They like the fact that it doesn't look like big box stores. It looks like an old city. And so that is appealing to people.
So what challenge would you put out to anyone listening to our conversation right now who feels that spark of entrepreneurship or frontier spirit?
Right. One of the things that I liked a lot about New Orleans is that people have a great love for the city of New Orleans. And I have to say, I've been there 3 times in the last year. And every time I'm there, I'm thinking, they need to fix that and they need to fix this. And then I just sit back and go, I like it here. I just like the way people are. They talk to you. They're interested. They're looking at new ideas. I think with the city of Detroit, we have great opportunity with the newcomers to the city of Detroit. Now, hipsters come, artists come, people come because they see personal opportunity. I think primarily we wouldn't have folks here if they didn't think that this was going to help their daily lives and give them a sense of adventure or a new sense of opportunity. But at some point, you make a commitment to the community around you, and you don't just say, I'm here because my apartment's $300 a month and I can ride my bike anywhere. You have to look at what you're riding by on your bicycle. You have to look at what you're seeing out your window. That's the point where you make a commitment to your community. And what I've seen in New Orleans is person after person after person came because they wanted to be in New Orleans, and now they want to help New Orleans. And I'm seeing it at all age levels. I'm seeing it from young people who are giving $100 a month to these giving circles that make charitable donations, to these young chefs, to the entrepreneurs, to the older folks who've decided, you know what, I'm done in St. Louis or Memphis or Las Vegas. I want to live someplace where I really want to enjoy it. And so I think Detroit can offer that. We might not have the jazz clubs and the you know, being able to walk around at 3 a.m. with a cocktail. But there's a lot in Detroit that needs fixing. So that's an opportunity. And there's a lot of history in Detroit that's just as valuable to this country as the history in New Orleans. So I'm hoping that the newcomers to Detroit are now at that period where they're saying, you know what, I really like this. What more can I do for Detroit?
But certainly Detroit is very much at the very beginning. So there's kind of that – when you say people feel like they kind of really love that area in New Orleans, is that happening in Detroit? Are people saying, wow, I mean, except for maybe a small handful, are people coming in going, I love this. I really want to be here. Or are they saying, hey, I can get a place for $300 a month?
We're at the beginning of the spectrum. Mm. But one of the things that we have that they have in New Orleans is our folks are friendly, too.
Yeah.
This is a very warm community. This is a community where people lend a helping hand. So if you think about where New Orleans was in 2005, from 2005 to 2012 is 7 years. So it's just happening in New Orleans 7 years after the storm. We've just noticed the newcomers in, say, the last 2 years or so. So we're probably around 2007, which is where New Orleans was, and they were still dealing with the aftermath of the cleanup then. So we've got a ways to go. We need some economic help. We need focus, and we need commitment. And once those three things come together, those could very much plant the seeds for a Detroit that echoes what I've seen in New Orleans.
Mickey, always good to talk with you. Thanks for sharing with us today on Stateside.
It's my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Mickey Maynard is a writer and a contributor to Gadling.com. And we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts and your ideas for a city trying to rebuild? Let us know on Facebook at Stateside with Cynthia Canty, or go to Twitter, that's at Stateside Radio. And of course, you can find us on our webpage, michiganradio.org. And while you're there, catch up on all past shows you might have missed.